Blog Talk Radio.
This is not a debate. This is a lecture. That is such a high-powered introduction. Big shout-out to Living Color for letting us use their wonderful classic song. How is everybody doing today? Another Dallas Cowboy 90-Minute Monday with Dustin and Chris. Huge show today, but first, I want to apologize a little bit to those who were expecting a Wednesdays with Wade edition this past Wednesday. Between prior obligations and life's complications, we just could not make it. Dustin, Wade, or myself. So we will be covering the same big topics, which we'll tease towards the end of the show, this Wednesday, 4 p.m., same spot, blogtalkradio.com. You can hear it right here. The stars align. We're also going to be introducing the new network, per se, the Overtime Sports News Network. A little bit about that on the Facebook page as well as on the website. So check that out. It's going to be big time, major, and we are going to basically use the Dallas Cowboys to take the world over. So thank you very much, Dallas Cowboys, for that. Dustin, it's another Cowboy Monday. Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir. I'm excited.
We are going to start off today by, sort of playing a name game a little bit. Remember the name game when you were in elementary school? I mean, the only problem for me is the name game was always negative. I mean, I was always getting called terrible stuff. But the name game is simply this. Do these names, some of them might mean something to you, some of them might not. But Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, obviously, Tyrone Smith, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Mike Jenkins, Martellus Bennett, Anthony Spencer, Nick Folk, Jason Hatcher, DeMarcus Ware, Marion Barber, and Jay Ratliff. What do those names mean to you, Dustin? Do you know? I feel like a teacher right now. Dustin, do you know? Like a kindergarten teacher.
I believe
teacher.
Those were all the Pro Bowlers that we drafted over the last 10 years, Chris.
That would be correct. 13 of them. And not only did we draft 13 of them, but we have the most. We being the Dallas Cowboys, of course. Yes, I'm speaking for an entire organization, so don't shoot the messenger. But we have drafted 13 Pro Bowlers, which is two more than the next leader, San Francisco. Okay, now, San Francisco has a little thing on us that we haven't had lately, and that's a Super Bowl appearance. And it just baffles my mind that you can have the most Pro Bowl appearances, the most Pro Bowl draftees, per se, and have a string of 8-8 seasons until last year and just be kind of there, not really be relevant. So I'm going to let you get your take on this, but it sort of, to me, kind of bodes a couple of questions. Is it coaching? Have we had before this past season? We've had Jason Garrett now for a couple of years, but I'm saying, have we had subpar coaching? Has it been maybe player personalities not getting along, not gelling well together? Or does perhaps the Pro Bowl and the gold standard of Pro Bowl wide receiver, Pro Bowl running back, Pro Bowl whatever, is the Pro Bowl not necessarily all it's cracked out to be, and really, if you make the Pro Bowl, it doesn't really matter?
Well, so first and foremost, the way I look at it is 90% of the guys that get voted to the Pro Bowl Everybody is, you know, pumped to be there because it used to be this, you know, Hawaii celebration. It's losing a lot of its steam. I'm a guy who loves it. I like seeing all the great guys come together and see how they react when they're not on the field trying to rip each other's heads off. I think it's fun for the game. I think it's fun to watch an NBA. And I'm like 50-50 on MLB just because baseball isn't really my forte. But the NHL All-Star Weekend, that thing's always fun to watch, too, with all the shootouts and all the skills challenges. But so the Pro Bowl, I just feel like we grew up in New England, and 9 times out of 10, whenever the Patriots made it to the Pro Bowl, whether they're going to the Super Bowl or not, they found a reason to pull out of it. Brady, the last time you saw him in a Pro Bowl, I feel like, was almost 8 years ago, and he's made it every damn year. So it's just, I think, speaking to the Pro Bowl, it's become so like, I don't feel like going this year, and it's not that big of a deal. I like the format they've been doing the last couple of years where they have two greats do like a draft, and then that way you could potentially have like, two Cowboys teammates going against each other. That's cool, and it's a new interesting spin on it. Me personally, I love watching all the old-timers do the flag football game. I think that's hilarious to watch. And then I think the skills challenge with the QBs where they're trying to hit targets and stuff like that, that stuff, when they play that on NFL Network, I record it and I'll watch it as many times as I can until I get bored with it. I love that stuff. But, again, I'm not the vast majority, apparently. Apparently people are like, it's a waste of time, get rid of it. I think if you're all NFL first team, that's the honor you want, because just like the All-Star team, game, exactly, there's first team all NBA in basketball, and I feel like the players care more about that than they do the All-Star game. The All-Star game, the Pro Bowl, all that stuff is dedicated pretty much to giving the fans some fun and entertainment to watch for a little while. But like I said, it's losing steam. So now getting back to this, most Pro Bowlers in the last 10 years, you know what I think this is, Chris? I think this is a hat tip to whoever it is who's on the Dallas Cowboys, who's scouting, who's looking at talent, and who's making the decisions as far as we need to draft this guy, we need to bring this guy in. Because ultimately,
but what does it matter, though? We haven't done anything. We haven't done anything. We've been 8-8.
Okay. That's the point I'm getting to, though, right? So we've had 13 Pro Bowlers over the last 10 years, and just like you said, it hasn't equated to anything. So just because we have the ability to draft someone who might eventually become a Pro Bowler, that doesn't do anything for us as far as, you know, the ultimate goal. If we were drafting players and building a dynasty like some people are saying we might be doing currently, then fine. But when we let half these guys go, Ware's on Denver, Barber is not in the league anymore, Ratliff, I believe, is still trying to get under the Bears. Hatcher just left for the Redskins, right? Or I might be wrong, or maybe it was...
He left,
I know,
to go somewhere.
Hatcher,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Folk is with the Jets, I believe, unless they cut him. Bennett is...
Good luck for him.
Where did Bennett... Didn't Bennett just sign with somebody
Martellus?
After being with the Bears for a little while? Yeah.
He was with the Giants forever. He was with
yeah,
he was
and
with
then
us.
He went to the Bears. No, but he really blew up. No, he really blew up in Chicago, yeah. So I don't know if he's still in Chicago or has moved on. Mike Jenkins, I have no idea. Okay. Mike Jenkins, I don't know. And obviously, you know, DeMarco with Philly. And so out of this entire list, I think all we have is Martin, Frederick, Smith, Dez Bryant, and then do we still have Anthony Spencer?
Yeah, no. Spencer's one of those kind of, you know, kind of guys who has a contract dispute right now. So we're not exactly sure. My sources right now, however, are telling me that he's currently on the New Orleans Saints, unfortunately. But he was one of those guys who was one of those, you know, core leaders.
Wanted
him
too much
DeMarco
money.
He wanted more money than the productivity that he gave, yes.
Okay, so when you think about it, out of 13 players that are Pro Bowl caliber as of right this second, meaning they hit the Pro Bowl at some time, are they currently Pro Bowl? No, because no one would tell you that DeMarcus Ware is still a Pro Bowler. He's clearly in the twilight of his career, and no one would tell you that Mike Jenkins is a Pro Bowl corner and that Nick Folk is a Pro Bowl kicker. They just had a good season that got them a Pro Bowl appearance. So that's why I don't like this. I don't like this whole article that was published, the most Pro Bowlers in the last 10 years, because, again, there's no way you can possibly look at this other than a hat tip to our scouting department, because just because you get to be a Pro Bowler at one point in your career doesn't mean that, you know, it's all going to come together and we're going to have all these guys together all at the same time, all on the same team, and then go and win a Super Bowl. It just
means we did for a lot of
we
them.
Okay, so look at all the older picks from like 05, 06, 07, 08. All those guys were together, and there was no offensive line. And then what happens? All those guys bounce, and then all of a sudden we're drafting wide receivers, running backs, and an offensive line. So this, I feel like this crew that we have together right now is the most likely chance we have at putting a Pro Bowl core together, keeping them together for at least 5 years, and then just seeing how we can do with it. But again, it's a hat tip to scouting. I don't see how you can see it any other way.
Perhaps. I mean, you mentioned the vast majority not really caring about the Pro Bowl and all the activities. I'm part of the vast majority. I mean, I think that they should change it up a little bit. I mean, for years when I was a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, we got a Pro Bowl, you know, a defensive end or a Pro Bowl, whatever. But to me, I think the Pro Bowl in the NFL doesn't necessarily hold the same clout as the NBA, the MLB, this and that, the All-Star break, whatever they want to call it, simply because it comes after the season, after the Super Bowl. Now, I know what they've been doing, playing it before the Super Bowl recently, but for a long time it's been after the Super Bowl, and nobody really cares. They have their Super Bowl party, they have, you know, the team that wins it all, and then football's over, you know? And the Pro Bowl is always high scoring, but there's no defense, there's no real hard hits. It's just kind of like it's almost like a charity game, almost.
Chris,
and so
you know what I propose? I think a good idea, if they extend the season, because obviously you've heard about them wanting to go from 17 weeks to 19 weeks or whatever it may be.
It would be awesome.
And a good, yeah. Right. It would be awesome from a fan standpoint, but for the players, they're unhappy about it because a lot of these guys are going to be putting their body on the line for a couple more weeks that they wouldn't normally have to. So, but I think what would be cool as a compromise would be move the Pro Bowl to mid-season like MLB and give it a stipulation where the winner gets to host, you know, he gets to host the Super Bowl or something like that. Granted,
well,
the
like
Super
week
Bowl
eight?
Has always played. What's that?
Have like a bye week, week eight, have like a bye, like a league-wide bye
right.
week, week
a
eight.
A league-wide bye week, week eight, right, and make it so NFC and AFC have something to play for. Like, at least make it, like, I understand that, you know, giving them home field advantage doesn't make sense in the NFL because it's only one game. It's not a series like MLB. But I think if you give them something to fight for that meant something, like home field advantage in the Super Bowl, like maybe it would just be a guaranteed East Coast, you know, team hosting versus a West Coast team or I don't know. But I think that might be something cool.
Few flaws there. First off is MLB and NBA have so many games beforehand that you can pick out who the stars are going to be, things like that. They come halfway through. NFL is too short to really be able to tell. Some guys don't turn it on until late in the season or later in the season or something like that. So I understand because of the short season why they wait till the end. But also, when you mention the home field advantage thing, I like it. But really the only thing that it could be, just based on the system that's in place, is it could possibly be who wears the dark jersey and who wears the white jersey, because the Super Bowl is booked out through freaking 2022. I mean, they have their places set, and they only really play, other than that shellacking we saw in MetLife, other than that, they've really played in warm weather places or in domes. So, I mean, if like, let's say the NFC wins or something, how are you going to – okay, well, we have to put in an NFC park. Okay, well, which one? Okay, and then you got to kind of decide, okay, well, who was the MVP? Okay, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, well, I'm not going to play the Super Bowl in Green Bay. You know, so there's different, I mean, there's
yeah,
a few.
Why would
I like
play the Super Bowl in Green Bay if they're going to play it in New York City in February? It's the same temperatures.
Have you been to Green Bay? I mean, my brother went to school in Wisconsin. It's a different kind of cold up there. And I'm just saying, like, they have been tossing this idea around for a while. I like your general idea of playing it mid-season, but we'd have to tweak it. We'd have to make it mean
right.
something, and we'd have to – like, the only way that you could play it mid-season, I think, is take the All-Stars from last season, So, for instance, like you play a full season, and then they vote during the summertime or something, and you pick who the Pro Bowlers are, and then they play in that game from last season. You just keep recycling the year or something like that, because
it's just too hard to do because the sport's so physical that you can't. You know what I mean? Like baseball, you can be trying your hardest, and no one's tearing an ACL or no one's breaking someone else in half. Right. So it's like maybe that's what it is. Maybe this sport just isn't meant to have a mid-season classic or a postseason classic. But I do think a skills challenge would be a good compromise, and I think that's something that players would get into. Have you ever seen those old ones that they used to do, back when like Drew Brees was like with the Chargers and stuff and Peyton was a youngin, they would do how many throws can you hit through the 30-yard tire down the field, and they'd have like the wide receivers that are there run streak routes and then they'd throw a deep bomb to them and see how many catches they can get. Stuff like that, maybe that could be the compromise. You just do skills challenge and you do the old man's flag football game that you watch where it's only 50 yards, you put Marino versus Montana or something, stuff like that. Maybe that's the result, but I didn't mean to pull you off track as far as our Pro Bowlers go.
No, it's fine. I mean, I was about to segue into the fact that perhaps, I know we haven't had any offensive line for a while other than Tyron Smith, but, why is it that, it just seems like it's the Cowboys that have that negative connotation around them. It just seems like if this were any other team, if it were Pittsburgh, if it were Green Bay, if it were Denver, Indianapolis, I mean, any one of these, quote-unquote premier organizations, if it were, New England for sure, any of them, had they had the most Pro Bowlers drafted in a decade, we'd see a dynasty, an unstoppable machine. We'd be talking about this team, winning 3-4 rings, whatever. Even if it were the Giants, it just seems like, unfortunately, Dallas has sort of had that, yeah, but on them, and
maybe it's the character, maybe it's not
possibly
raw talent, maybe we're getting raw talent and these guys are just duds.
I think it was coaching
up top. And,
that's
a possibility, but a lot of people. Right, but a lot of people thought Wade Phillips was one of the greatest defensive minds in football, and he just couldn't get it done because he was.
I let you finish. I just had a funny thought. Wade Phillips, I think he he's a good defensive mind, sure. So was Rob Ryan, great defensive mind. But the only two things that I think that those guys would be solid coaches at, to me, based on their track record over the last 5 years, would be competitive eating coaches, both of them. I mean, Kobayashi, Matt Chestnut, guys, get in touch with them, because I think Marinelli is showing you, for being a, 6 foot, let's just say, an old white dude who's, tough as nails, basically, is getting behind these guys, grabbing them by the shirt and saying, hey, this is what you're going to do. This is your job. Wade Phillips is like, oh, hey, guys, go out there and have a good game. Always
smiling, he's a player's coach for sure.
Yeah, but I don't want my defensive coordinator to be smiling and giggling and laughing and having jokes and making balloon animals on the sideline. I want my defensive coordinator up in your face, grab you by the face mask, and lay into your backside if you do something wrong, which is what Marinelli does. He commands respect. He's the smallest guy in the facility, but he commands respect. And I think we haven't had a coach like him, especially on the defensive side, in a while. And, we've had some big names come through. And we've had some big names, but just nothing seemed to be the right combination. And I feel like this article is going to be seen. I mean, it was an NFL.com article. It's going to be spun the wrong way, I think, by Cowboy haters, because there's a lot of Cowboy haters out there, and they're going to be like, look at the Cowboys. Look what they did. They drafted the most Pro Bowlers, and they suck. But nobody really sits down and takes the time to analyze perhaps why, and even I can't tell you why we've been 8-8 for 4 straight years, 6-10 the year before that, and then finally break out this season. I can't tell you, but we've had, the illustrious Pro Bowlers that we've had.
Chris, just because you make the Pro Bowl, again, though, it's a 53-man roster. How many guys are on one side of the ball on the field at one time? Even if you had half the team on the Pro Bowl, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate to winning. You could be a Pro Bowl guy stuck on a crappy team, and it doesn't matter. You could be a Pro Bowl quarterback. If you don't have good receivers, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a line to protect you, if you don't have a running game to mix it up to keep the blitz away from you, it doesn't matter. That's why I just feel like individual accolades in the ultimate team sport, they don't mix. They don't make sense, and they don't necessarily translate to winning. That's why people who read this article, if they don't go in deep, like you just said, and actually analyze the total deal, the total package, you're not going to get it. Just because they have the most Pro Bowlers over the last decade, think about that. That's 10 years. That's a long time. Who cares?
That's only
a 16.
Span
of 10. Yeah, that's a span of 10 years. Realistically, how many Pro Bowlers were all on the same field with each other at the same time? Nobody knows. Again, like I said, if
I
you
can
look
really
at the
tell you
list,
right now.
I don't know. If you maybe if you can look it up, I'm looking at my notes.
I think at least six or seven
really,
of them on that list.
So if it was Ratliff, Ware, Marion Barber, Hatcher, Spencer, and Folk, right? Because I feel by the time Jenkins showed up, I'm pretty sure that Barber was done.
He was on the team, but he wasn't. He wasn't the Barbarian anymore. But I think he left.
I know we're running long on this topic, but think about it, man. Marion Barber, these guys, just because you put in 1 year worth of a Pro Bowl does not mean that the team is all-time great. There are guys that just outperform their past suckiness. That's all you have to do to look at it. You know, it just doesn't – I think there's no way that you can look at this and not just say, okay, they have a good eye for spotting talent, period.
Yeah, maybe they can spot talent well. But they just can't seem to put talent together to put a winning product on the field until this year. But in the wise words of Jimmy Johnson,
you did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about Jim Cowboy? Yeah!
So thinking about that clip and how about that, I'm having heart palpitations about this. Rolando McClain, who was, you know, a veteran linebacker, has really kind of been a journeyman in this league for a while. Didn't really do much in Oakland, kind of was tagged as a bust. Comes into Dallas last season to add depth. Okay, he added, you know, if one of our linebackers went down, he'd step in. Well, he turned into being the starter, and then he turned into being the feel-good story of the year and the comeback player and all this stuff. I was behind him. I was digging him. I was like, wow, you know, I liked him coming out of college. I liked him on the Raiders. Even though he didn't do well, I tagged it up to a bad team, you know. But I was like, oh, you know, McClain, this guy's going to be a consistent guy for us because Lee can't stay healthy. You know, Lee couldn't stay healthy if you paid him to stay healthy. So, I was like, yeah, Rolando McClain. And now what comes out? Well, Rolando McClain suspended 4 games by the NFL for substance abuse violation. Okay, it's his second one. That's why he got the suspension. The first one's only a 4-game fine. Now it's 4-game suspension. Well, what does that do? What does that do to our defense? Well, I mean, you've got Greg Hardy already out for God knows how long. I mean, they're taking forever to get his sentence, finalized. Why? Like, why would you put yourself in that kind of position? I mean, you know you have a chance to start. You know you're on a Super Bowl contender of a team. Nobody wanted you. Dallas, we took a chance on you, Rolando. We said, you know what, we'll bring him in. We're not expecting much from him, but we'll bring him in. We'll give him a home. We'll put him in a uniform. I mean, Rolando McClain most likely would be on somebody's practice squad, in the CFL, or doing some regular person job, if it were not for us bringing him in. And now, well, what do you know? So he issued a statement. He says, I apologize to my family. Family, he calls it. I apologize to my family, the Cowboys organization, my teammates, and Cowboys fans for my mistake. He said to the NFL Players Association, I will not break the rules of my profession in the future, and I regret my error. I look forward to returning to the field week 5 when I hope I can help my team beat the Patriots. Well, Rolando, we're going to need you before then.
you D-bag. I mean, that's all I can say. We're going to need him against the Eagles. We're going to need him against the Giants, the Falcons, and the Saints. So, you know, I just – now a key piece of our offense is down the drain. I mean, Hardy, God knows how long he's out for, like I just said. Now McClain's out. God knows if Lee can stay healthy. So now we're relying on Jasper Brinkley, who we brought in on the offseason, Anthony Hitchens, who was a good rookie last year, but, you know, still a lot to be proven. We just went from having a lot of depth to kind of having a question mark and an uh-oh moment here on defense. I mean, I'm not going to get all up in arms and start yelling into the mic like Mad Dog Russo, but it's just baffling, mind-blowing to me. It says here, though, and the sources say that McClain, he sort of had a renaissance of sorts last year in Dallas after I mentioned. He retired two separate times. He had 81 tackles over 13 games, and he sort of helped to negate Sean Lee's loss last year. He signed a one-year deal. Now, here's the thing. One-year deal to remain in Dallas, but he was already facing a four-game fine for his third failed drug test, which makes this one the fourth. Okay, the fourth. So he was already facing a four-game fine, which to them, no big deal. Okay, he signed a one-year deal to remain in Dallas, and it's one of those conditional ones, like what Greg Hardy has there. He will be looking. I think he's on the outside looking in. I think McClain very well could now lose his starting spot. He could lose a spot on the roster, period. We have a good amount of depth at that position. We just drafted two linebackers who we think might end up being something. And who knows, maybe they'll move Randy Gregory into a hybrid linebacker position like they did with DeMarcus Ware. You know, who knows? It's just baffling to me. I mean, are you as PO'd about this McClain thing as I am? Or are you... You kind of cutting the baggage here.
Okay, well, first things first, I hope that God they don't move him into anything that they did with DeMarcus Ware, because that's pretty much the reason why DeMarcus Ware fell off the face of the planet. I think Ware just belongs. He said he loves it. He likes just going after the quarterback. He doesn't like having to drop back into coverage. And that's the product of going from, you know, the Parcells system to the Wade Phillips system to the Jason Garrett system. Just let the guys play what their natural position is and what they're good at. Don't try to make them do too much. So I hope to God they don't make Gregory start doing any of that, because he put on some weight, which means he's going to be a heavy big boy coming at you. Just let him go get the QB. Second,
I know all about putting on weight.
Yeah, so this McClain thing, right? So this is the thing that I need to know what it is he did in order to fail this test. I have yet to find it. You can Google it all you want, because I spent all day trying to figure it out, and I spent the last, like, week. They will not give you, oh, he failed because of marijuana. Yeah, he failed because of steroids. He failed because of crack. I don't care. Tell me what he did and what is causing him to fail. If it's steroids, I'm going to piss a lot of people off right now. I don't care. He's a linebacker in one of the most physical leagues there is. In sports,
probably the
today,
most besides the NHL, yeah.
I don't care. I don't care. Chris, I'm one of those guys, if it's steroids, I dig the long ball. I hate pitching duels in baseball. It's boring as hell to watch. I can't stand when you're sitting there watching a baseball game and it's nothing heading into the 11th inning. I want to see a 10-9 home run derby. That's entertaining. Basketball, 120 to 119, way better to watch than 75 to 73. Football, I'm telling you, man, you remember Ray Lewis, right? Didn't he tear his shoulder or something heading into the year that they won the Super Bowl? And then the whole deer antler stuff that came out, you know, oh, he used something, and he healed, like, in record time. But he was back, and he was laying the smackdown in the AFC Championship game, I believe, against the Patriots, and that was the year that they finally beat the Pats, went on and won the whole thing. And if you watch anything, if you actually look deeper into that and you go off of anything other than just stupidity and saying he also killed a man, you'll realize that that's BS, and they've yet to even come close.
hey,
to proving that Ray Lewis did anything like that. So I'm going to
But anyway,
that
this is not a Ray Lewis
right
segment,
now.
Though. This is a Rolando McClain segment. So,
right, but
no,
what
I'm
saying
I
is if you want to talk about a guy who potentially failed a drug test for steroids, I don't care. You want to tell me he was doing, you know, pot and drugs and all this other stuff, then that's a whole other story. Because if he was trying to roid up in order to come back from his on-again, off-again retirement and then unretirement, it doesn't bother me because honestly, answer this question. If you're in a professional sport and someone said, hey, you might be losing a step, I can give you this stuff that you're going to poke into your butt cheek and it's going to make you faster, stronger, and it's going to, you know, but long-term, it might hurt your body because it might start decaying you from the inside out. You might lose your hair. Some things might shrink and you might have acne, but you're going to be the best you've ever been at your position and could potentially get a big payday out of it. Dude, I'd do it in a heartbeat, and I'm not going to lie to anybody.
I don't know
that
about
I'm
that.
Yeah, well, and this is my point. If you want to be that person who, you know, is so, you know, oh, I'm, you know, I'm so proper and I would never do that and I would always follow the rules and yada, yada, yada. I just don't buy it, man. If this guy took steroids and it was to ensure him playing on America's team when they were in the all-time low of the low in linebackers, I'm talking about last year because the report says they think he could have been doing steroids all of last year and he failed his drug test right after they decided to sign him again. So if it's related to steroids, which they still will not confirm, they have not said what it is that he failed it for. They haven't said it. They've given no information. I've looked up like 10 different websites that all have the story. No one will say why he failed his test. If it's steroids related, I don't give a crap. I don't. I personally just do not care because, like I said, it's something that they're doing to themselves that's going to give them short-term results and could hurt them in the long run, but it's their own decision, man. If they want to, you know, if they want to be the best at what they can be and they think they need that edge in order to achieve that goal in a very physical and rough sport and probably the most physical and rough position on the field of linebacker, I don't care. Bigger the better, man.
Nope, I don't buy it. And fans, call us, tell us what you think. I know we got a couple people listening right now, looking at the thing. The chat box is going. Nothing really of substance yet, but I know people are listening. 713-955-0359. Again, 713-955-0359. Maybe our Long Island buddy will call us up again, although every time he calls, he goes off on Giants tangents, but that's great. We still love him. It's one of those
things. That's
all
right. I'm
going to
save him for Wednesday. I'll save him for Wednesday.
Exactly. And, oh, there's the first teaser. Look at that. See, you're learning already. But what it is to me is I'm looking at, like I look at the Antonio Gates thing, right? He's healing, quote-unquote, his body with holistic means. Okay, he's going the whole hippie route, doing the holistic healing thing. But he didn't realize that one of the, you know, ingredients in his holistic medicine was on the NFL's banned substance list. Okay.
These guys
are
getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, and it's their livelihood. They know exactly what they're putting in their body.
Exactly.
They just know that there's a slim chance of being caught, and when they get caught, they plead the fifth. Oh, I had no – dude, how am I supposed to know the ins and the outs? These guys make millions of dollars, and they know that that could come to a screeching halt if they put the wrong thing in their body. There is no way any of these guys do not – they just take a pill blindly. Not a chance, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening to an interview the other day on the NFL channel on Sirius. Can't quite remember who the guy was, but he was a former NFL player. And he was saying that a lot of the guys with the new system that's set up, once they fail a drug test once, no matter what it's for, it could be for PEDs, for weed, whatever it is, they're then put into a quote-unquote system. They're then profiled. And they're then able to be piss tested every, I don't know, 2 weeks or whenever the league comes in with a cup and says, do this. Okay. But guys who have not had an issue with this before really hardly ever get tested at all, maybe once or twice during the season, and they're told when the test is coming up. Okay. So he was saying that a lot of the guys in the league do smoke weed in the off season or even during the season, depending on, you know, the week, if they have a bye, whatever it is, in order to heal their body. Because they said that it has properties and additives in it that help to heal a little bit faster. And he said that if the NFL tested every single week, every single player for marijuana and for different, you know, healing things, different kinds of vitamins that are banned and things like that, they wouldn't be able to field a team, much less give suspensions. They wouldn't be able to have a single team.
Chris? Why do they care?
Don't.
Why does anybody give a crap? What if you smoke weed, if you're doing lines in the bathroom? I don't give a crap what they're doing. Just be on the field for game time. That's all I'm asking.
Well, that's my point. That's why I'm pissed at Rolando, because you know you've had three of these already. You've had three down the drain. You know the NFL is watching you like a hawk is watching a rabbit, okay? And you know that at any time, Goodell could send his goons in to give you a cup to go in, and you still are doing something. I mean, I don't know if he's
there
as
might,
blatant
hey,
as Josh.
Think about the psychology of it too, Chris. He might have been like, all right, I'm going to take that. Again, tell me what he did. Nobody knows. So we're doing hypotheticals of, you know, oh, he was at a party and his buddy was passing around a joint and he was like, yeah, hit this. I'll give you something to take, you know, that'll turn your piss clear and you'll pass the test later. He took it.
It turns out
he didn't pass the test and his source wasn't good enough. That could be one situation. It could be the steroids thing we're talking about. Do you know what all of his priors were? Do you know the three that he killed in the past? Okay,
I know
one was
performance enhancing, and I don't know what the third one was. I'm still looking. I have my
okay. So it looks like there's no
find it, but.
Right. So it looks like there hasn't been like a, you know, it's all been pot. The guy's just a pothead. He can't get off the weed. It hasn't been the guy's roided. He can't stop. His whole career has been based on steroids. We don't know. We'll never know the truth. You know, 9 times out of 10 will set you free, but it'll never hit the press. And it's one of those things where I just don't I don't get it. These guys are professional athletes. Just if you're going to do stupid stuff that's going to harm you personally, keep it out of the face of children. Keep it out of the face of, you know, the major networks, the major newspapers, the media. If you're doing it at 2 in the morning, in the off season, I don't care, and I don't see why anybody else should be and act like we're so self-righteous that we've never done anything bad in our lives and we've never, you know, thought about doing anything to get ahead in life. No, I'm not going to pretend to be that self-righteous. I'm not going to BS everybody, because I absolutely have thought of a million different ways. And I personally have been like, hey, you know, wow, steroids. All right, I know a buddy who's doing it and it seems like it's working well. But you know what? The only thing that's kept me from doing it when I work out, because I don't want to lose my freaking hair, because I think I'll look like a goon bald. And that's the only thing that's kept me from doing steroids.
Well, the goatee look kind of cool.
Yeah, but I don't think I can pull it off. So I think about the long term. I think about, you know, it's going to eat away at the inside of me. And I've heard stories about dudes that have been so roided up that all of a sudden their thigh explodes in the inside. Just looks like a bunch of black just crap. It's just your insides go to absolute crap. So it's one of those things where, again, we don't know if it's steroids, we don't know if it's drug-related, but I just don't understand why we should give a crap. These guys are putting their bodies on the line to entertain us, and I just don't see why we should, you know, the whole integrity of the sport BS that everybody throws at baseball, I guess, but you can't tell me that if 90% of those baseball players back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s had the option to take a magical pill in order to double their productivity that they would all say no. Again, this is all just grandparents and old people being overly self-righteous and being, oh, that, you know, it's hurting this and hurting that. Dude, come on, man. I mean, all we got to do is tell our kids, do the right thing. That's it. You tell your kids,
well,
do the right thing, you send them out into the world, and they make their own decisions.
Yeah, I haven't liked McClain since he delivered the hit that lacerated Witten's spleen back in, 2012 in a preseason game. I've always kind of been had a little angst towards him since then. But now this, I mean, I'm looking at Kevin Sherrington, okay? He's a columnist at ESPN Dallas. And, he brings up a good point. He says, even if these charges are true, the NFL or the Cowboys don't have to let McClain go. If the NFL banished everyone who flunked a drug test, they'd be playing six-man football, basically meaning everybody does this. So it's not exactly a moral issue with
Brett
them.
Brett Favre, Chris.
Nor is it with
one
him.
Of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. One of my favorites, Brett Favre. You're going to tell me he was the Iron Man and he never put anything into him to keep him playing? after he got destroyed on the field, dude, he was looked at as one of the toughest quarterbacks to ever play the game. And if I was to bet my money on the fact that he never took any kind of steroids or human growth hormone or anything to help him heal, that's BS. That's BS, man.
Well, he keeps going here. He says that the Cowboys didn't hold it against Orlando Scandrick last season when the league suspended him for 4 games, then reduced the penalty to two for substance abuse. So, I mean, Scandrick did the same thing last year. He just got a new contract. So, obviously, teams aren't caring as much about this unless it's a blatant thing. I mean, unless you're Josh Gordon, okay, and you're just doing whatever you want. And
I think
it's more of a repeat offender thing.
Right, this would be a good thing to talk to Wade about too on the Wednesday show, because Wade has a very very strong outlook on marijuana and how it's ridiculous that a guy who beat the crap out of his wife on an elevator, you know, got way less initial punishment suspended games than a guy who was just, you know, found smoking weed, or he failed the drug test, which is something that over the next 10 years, I think everybody can, you know, agree upon is going to be legalized, you know, nationwide. So I think that's something that would be funny to let him go on like a 10-minute rant over, because he's very well educated in that field. But again, dude,
nobody can tell me what it is that he failed.
Yeah, nobody, exactly, but nobody, I think he's going to be around. But again, nobody can tell me what it is he failed. No one, not one reporter, not one source can tell me what it is that caused him to fail. Was it roids? Was it HGH? Was it pot? Was it a harder drug? Was it anything? You can't tell me. No one will tell me, so I don't think we can fully lay into this dude, because, again, if it's steroids and it's to help him come back and help this team win games, as crappy as it sounds, it's just like what you said about Hardy. You know, are you going to hold it against him, what he did in his, you know, in his off time to his girlfriend, da-da-da-da? No, not if he's helping us win games. That's the way it is in America. If you're winning, you're winning, and you don't want to look at, you know, you don't want to look at all the bad that's being done to help you win. You're just pumped you're winning, and I'm just coming out and I'm saying it. People are not going to agree with me, and people are going to hate it because it's not the right outlook and, you know, the Disney Channel version of it. But I don't care, man. This is life. You sink or you swim in the real world.
If you're listening, tell us how you feel. 713-955-0359. I do have the chat box blowing up about this, but they're mostly just arguing with each other, not really giving us any questions. So it's kind of entertaining to monitor that. But we do have to move on. We are up against it here. Only about 45 minutes left to go in this wonderful Dallas Cowboy 90-minute Monday. Finally feels like summer here in upstate New York. It's been rainy and cold. And I mean, you got the luxury of being in Florida, so that's great. But it's you know, finally summer, 91 degrees and sunny out, and I'm stuck in a studio in front of a microphone. But that's cool. That's cool. Last thing about McClain, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he did or what he didn't do or what the abuse may have been. Your job, and this is playing devil's advocate, and this is looking at it from a sort of a non-fan point of view. Like, me personally, I don't care. But, you know, from an objective point of view, it's your job to know what you can and can't do anymore. And if you're 3 drug tests down, you know the NFL is watching you. Just be squeaky clean. I mean, there's ways to rehab. It might take you a little bit longer, but there's ways to rehab. You just go into GNC and ask them, well, I can't have this, this, and this. What can I do? And they'll be able to tell you, man. I mean, come on, Rolando. We needed you. You let us down. And now you're going to be rusty against the Patriots, which is arguably the biggest game of the season. You mentioned before about pissing people off. I might as well. You mentioned Ray Rice getting a lower initial punishment. If Ray Rice were to sign with the Cowboys tomorrow, I would be ecstatic. I would be like, oh, my God, we got Ray Rice. We're going to the Super Bowl. But a lot of people don't seem to think that Dallas has a shot at the Super Bowl this year because of that running game. And that sort of brings us into what we were talking about earlier in the production meeting. Is Dallas sort of going to regress a little bit because of the loss of DeMarco Murray? Are we going to be able to get it done, per se, with Randall and with Run-DMC? A lot of people say no. And now I know that this topic has come up several times, especially on this show. Seems like we're talking Murray and running game a lot. But there's been new developments that have come out that say that, well, maybe Randle has the edge. Joseph Randle has the edge. And he's been a guy that's been a career backup. For a while, he was a clipboard holder. But we knew coming out of Oklahoma State that he was going to be a firecracker. We knew he was a speed guy. He just happened to come into, you know, Felix Jones first, and then he had DeMarco Murray. So he's sort of been a little bit behind the eight ball, but now they're saying that he may be emerging as a starter. He may be the guy. And this is the same dude who stole $60, he stole $60 worth of underwear in cologne. He's making all that money. I'm not really nervous about his production on the field. I've seen him come in and that Redskins game, most notably last year, the 60-yard touchdown run that he just bursted like a Mako shark attacking prey. I mean, he just was gone last year. He has that burst. I've seen him be productive in situations. What I'm worried about is his mental capacity. If he becomes the starter, is he going to do stupid stuff like he did stealing the cologne and the underwear? I mean, the guy's making he's making more money than most people are going to see in their lifetime and to be a backup. And he's doing stupid stuff like that. He's been in trouble in the past before. In college, he was in fights and things. So he's been, you know, and I just, to me, I'm like, okay, we got a guy who's got all the talent in the world, but it's another Rolando McClain situation to me. It's another situation where Dallas is going to be or potentially going to be in the press negatively. And that's something I just don't know if I'm ready to handle, because I'm thinking Super Bowl. I've got my binocular vision locked in to, you know, Levi Stadium in February. And if we have a guy who we're going to tag as the starter doing something stupid and getting arrested or getting suspended, and then McFadden, who your term is made out of glass, McFadden who can't stay healthy, then what do we got? We got Lance Dunbar and Ryan Williams. So, you know, we didn't bring in Ben Tate. We didn't bring in, obviously, Ray Rice, although nobody has. We weren't able to go trade for Peterson. So now, to me, do we regress talent-wise on the field? Maybe not. But mentally, you know, Murray was squeaky clean. I think we do. I don't know about you, though.
Okay, so the way I look at it is 12-4 last year. Everybody's like, they're the most likely to regress. The reason why this is an easy, easy, safe pick is because we were an 8-8 team that was projected to be like four-win team. Okay, so obviously, if you go from being a team who isn't even going to break 500 to a 12-4 tied for first place in the NFC based on a flawed standing system, because the team that was above us was the Seahawks, who, we beat them in the regular season, so why the hell isn't that a tiebreaker? But we'll save that for another day. As far as are we going to regress? I mean, it's like I said, it's an easy pick. We lost last year's leading rusher, Murray. You know, I just feel like realistically, if we do, it's one game. It's 11-5, and it's solely because of the Hardy McClain suspensions. I just don't see how, when you take into account the additions on the defensive side that we made, how are we going to get a lot worse? You know, our offensive line only got better. Romo's only looking better, more healthy, gets a full off season of activities for like the first time in 3 or 4 years. You know, everything's clicking. I mean, as far as just the Dez thing, that's the only thing that really is just bugging me. If you take away the Dez just catastrophe that's going on right now, everything's looking great. Hardy's on the field. You know, yeah, he's going to be suspended, but, man, he's been playing his heart out in practice. He's been making a lot of guys better. He's becoming a leader. So are we going to regress? Whether you agree with it or not, that's just what's coming out of camp. You see him. He looks like a coach. He's out there. He's teaching guys proper way to line up. He's been doing a lot of work with Gregory. Gregory's been watching a lot of tape of old legends. And, I mean, whether you want to tip your hat to Hardy or whatever, I mean, that's your problem. I'm just telling you the facts. He's doing a lot
of
the team in the offseason.
By the way, less than 10 days to get Dez signed. Less than 10 to get Dez signed, by the way. But I'm just throwing that one out there.
And as far as the reports with Dez go, it doesn't seem like Dallas is too eager to do it because they don't think he's in any place to decline a franchise tender of $12.8 million. So it's whatever, but that's getting away from it. Chemistry-wise, adding to the defense with the picks that we got, that Jones kid, I think, like I said, will be starting week one. Where? Who knows? Is he going to be the starting corner, like on the second side, like basically the number two corner, but he'll be starting on the offside with Skandrick, obviously the starter against the best wide receiver that we play? Mm-hmm. Will he be one of the safeties? I don't know. Like you said, he's probably more likely to beat out the safety for the safety job because, I don't know, one would argue, that, you know, that job's a little bit more up for grabs than, you know, the corner job against Mo Claiborne, who, whether he's healthy or not, probably has a seniority vote. But
yeah, probably.
I don't know, man. Like I said, if we regress, it's barely. I think it's 11-5 at most. I was at an all-time low heading into last year, just like you said you were. You know, I agreed. I thought maybe we were going to be a 4-5-1 team, and then we just blew up out of nowhere, and we surprised everybody. And that seems to be how it happens every year in the NFL. There's a surprise team that nobody was paying attention to, and they show up and they catch everybody off guard. The trick is being consistent and consistently great. When everybody knows you're great, can you still be that good? Or will you just crumble under the pressure? And that's who the Dallas Cowboys have been the last 15 years. They crumble under the pressure when they're supposed to be good, and then they just don't amount to what they're supposed to be.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I think you know this, but if you don't, statistically, roughly about four new teams make the playoffs every year, and that's happened since 1990. Okay, that at least four new teams that weren't in it the year before have been in it, and now you're like, okay, so roughly 30% of this year's field won't be in it next year. That's what statistics say. I think, you know, our division only got better. You know, are they on our level yet? No, maybe not. But our division got better. But I think you stepped out of the studio for a minute. But you brought up some good points. But what I was saying was, I'm not worried about a regress. You know, physically on the field, I'm not worried about a regress in record 12-4, simply based on production between the hash marks. I'm concerned about Randall being able to be the mental guy that we need him to be. I mean, a guy who's going to have something so petty as stealing cologne and underwear, which, you know, to me at the time, the Cowboys just kind of brushed it off. They gave him a slap on the wrist, and he wasn't active for one game or whatever. But to me, it was a facepalm situation. And to me, I lost a lot of respect for him because they were in the midst of a playoff run. They were in the midst of being one of the best teams in football. They were on a hot streak. Everybody was talking about this team. You know, I think we were 5 games into our 6-game win streak, and everyone's like, "Oh, Dallas, America's team is back. They're the hottest team in football. They're this and that." And then what's the first news story that comes out? Joseph Randall arrested in, I don't know, Kansas or something like that for robbing a, well, he didn't rob, but for stealing cologne and underwear out of Dillard's. It's like this guy could buy all the underwear and cologne that he wants. He could. But mentally, he was not, I don't think he was able to make that right decision. He might say, I don't really feel like spending this money. I'm just going to take it. Well, you know, when you're on a team that is that much in the limelight, whether they're 1-15 or 15-1, the Dallas Cowboys are always going to be in the spotlight. When you're playing for a team like that and you make the decision to do something, now, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's not like he went out and killed somebody like Ray Lewis did. It wasn't like that. He just made a dumb, childish decision. And so I figured, all right, well, he's the backup anyway. We got Murray, no big deal. That's what I thought. Now I'm staring at the face of this guy on the computer everywhere and Valley Ranch updates that I get on my phone that says he could possibly end up starting week one. And now I'm sitting there like, oh, you know, now we're going to have this guy. We get a little bit of success. Is he going to get a big head and do something dumb, go to a club in Dallas and get into a fight? Or, you know, is he going to steal something else? Or is he going to fail a drug test because he went out partying because they beat the Giants week one?
You know, and all of a sudden, we lose a starting running back. Then we got McFadden, who has had injury risks and health concerns, and, you know, we're not quite sure what he's going to do. I don't even think he's sure what he's going to do yet. So then we're stuck. If that happens, we're stuck then with Lance Dunbar, and who's been productive, but he's not starting caliber by any means, and then Ryan Williams coming off the practice squad. Because we didn't, like, I don't know if you were still in studio or not, I was kind of vamping here, but we failed to bring in Ben Tate. We didn't go get Ray Rice, which nobody got Ray Rice, but we failed to get Ray Rice. We weren't able to trade for Adrian Peterson. I mean, there's been guys, you know, we didn't move up in the draft to get one of the big running backs. We didn't draft a running back that we can work on as a project in case one of these guys goes down. So we're putting ourselves, and this is another thing that concerns me deeply going into the season. If we start a guy like this, okay, we give him the power to be in the same title, per se. I mean, I know he's not talent-wise the same universe, but in the same title as guys like Emmitt Smith and Tony Dorsett, who were starting running backs for this organization, is he going to let us down, or is he going to rise above and outshine everybody? And the only thing he showed us since college is that he's going to let us down. You know what? Fights in college, bar fights, lying to the to the administration about a bar fight, stealing stuff on Dallas. I think he has one failed drug test. A hothead in practice. This is our future. This is, you know, we have 5 years left with Romo, and we've got two running backs with big question marks, and that really scares me.
Yeah. I guess if he's a repeat guy, I didn't know his college history at all. I was just gonna stand up for him and be like, well, this is his only time he's been in trouble as far as stealing goes. But I mean, if he's been, you know, getting into fights, this, that, and the other thing, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and tell you. Okay, but I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and tell you that I've never been into a fight, or that, you know, when I was younger I didn't steal candy from a gas station, because I absolutely did both of those things.
Yeah, but you weren't a 20-year-old playing for an organization and getting paid. Like, we were kids who
right.
I've stolen.
We don't know
the kids.
What are the
Chris?
Do you know
anybody.
Chris? Do you know? Right, Chris. Do you know who was with him? Was it a bunch of his buddies? Was it
his
dare?
Girlfriend.
Was it them just being? Okay, so
no, it was him
we don't know the
with his girlfriend.
Right, but we don't
I mean,
know the situation. We don't know what caused him to do it. We're trying to get in the mind of him. We're trying to, you know, understand the psychology of it, but no one's going to know except for him. And will he even tell us the truth? No, because of what you just said. He said he lied to his college about a bar fight. So, I mean, if character's the issue with this guy, yeah, why the hell is he on the team? You know, I personally don't care. There's 50 other guys out there that can run a 4.3 40. I don't need this guy on my team, you know? So if he's even in the running for the starting job, it that just shows mm-hmm. us how desperate we are for a starting running back. Because if Darren McFadden cannot weather the storm against this dip, then I don't know, man. If Darren McFadden cannot hold this kid off, then maybe Darren McFadden's days as a starting running back are far, far, far behind him. But me personally, I'm hoping he can just be that guy. Show everybody, you know, all the reports. He feels like a rookie again, and he feels rejuvenated. All right, great. Show me you can start the first 6 games and not be pulled out of the game because you got a hamstring issue or your wrist hurts or you hurt your quad. Show me that you can start the first 6 games, and then I'm going to feel good heading into the rest of the
mm-hmm.
season.
Mm-hmm.
If he can show me 6 solid games where he's getting 20, 25, 30 touches a game, and he obviously, you know what he's going to bring to the table with his speed, and he has the ability to lower the shoulder, then I don't care. But you took regression and brought it – but yeah, McFadden. You brought regression strictly to the running back position. Clearly we've regressed. We lost a league-leading running back. But the argument is, does this team completely regress compared to last year? And I think it's a coin flip. Like I said, I don't think the running game matters as much as Tony Romo, because if Romo can make up for the fact that we got a fractured guy as our starting running back in McFadden, and we're going to do it by committee, if he can make up for that by playing all-time great, keeping it to single-digit interceptions, and get me 40 touchdowns, Let's go nuts on offense with the passing arm.
40.
All right?
Wow.
Yeah. Give me 40. All right? Give me 40, and I want 5,000 yards passing.
Okay.
Not really, because Brady isn't a numbers guy. What that is that's Peyton Manning numbers. Those are Andrew Luck numbers. Those are Aaron Rodgers numbers. Okay?
Peyton Manning,
Brady's the more
one that's
about,
not as good as Eli? That one?
No. Oh, no. That's a joke. So as far as...
We're going to teach that today, by the way. Wednesdays with Wade.
Team, yeah, Wednesdays with Wade. I'm going to light up somebody who told me that Eli's better than Peyton. But as far as this argument, will the team regress? I don't see it. I don't see it personally. And if it happens, it's not going to be more than one game. But the all-time asterisk is what you said, health and suspensions. If Sean Lee doesn't stay standing up straight, all of a sudden that deep linebacker core you're talking about and why, you know, the Cowboys are going to be all, you know, nose up in the air to Rolando McClain, which they shouldn't, all of a sudden that deep linebacker core is garbage, okay? There's no reason why we should not keep Rolando McClain on the team. I don't care what he failed, because we all of a sudden think we got a great, reliable linebacker core. Give me a break, dude. I would never in a million years. I would prefer to send Dez Bryant out there to do kickoffs and get rid of our kicker before we ever not over prepare with linebackers ever again. After watching last year and how desperate we were to fill linebackers, never again should we do that. I pray to God we never ever do that. But again, regression,
well,
I don't see it.
I do, and here's why. Let me tell you, I just got an update on my phone from Valley Ranch. From the Cowboys organization, and it's just basically the guys watching OTAs saying that as of right now, it's a coin flip, but there's a good chance that perhaps Joseph Randle will start. About 28 minutes to go here, 713-955-0359. Let me tell you, before we move on here to another asinine topic, let me move on and tell you real quick who our potential starting running back is, okay? Joseph Randle. All right, now everybody knows that last October, Randle was arrested for shoplifting in a Frisco, Texas mall. He was attempting to steal Polo underwear and a tester bottle of Gucci Guilty Black Cologne. A tester bottle, okay? He made matters worse with inappropriate comments in the jailhouse toward a female employee, as well as disparaging comments about previous arrests of teammates Dez Bryant and Josh Brent. So he basically threw his teammates under the bus when he realized that he was in trouble, made disparaging comments to a female CO besides doing this. Then, okay, according to police in Wichita, Kansas, and this is back in February of this year, February 6, 2015, he was arrested for unlawful marijuana possession at 2:53 a.m. According to Wichita police, officers showed up at a hotel after receiving a call for domestic violence with a weapon. They found Randle and a 22-year-old woman at the hotel and observed marijuana in the room, which was rented to Randle at the time. He was arrested and issued a notice to appear in front of a judge. He was not booked and mugshot was not taken. The police are investigating the domestic violence charge. No weapon was found at the hotel. However, police are investigating whether another individual was there and left the scene before they arrived. So, you know, yeah, he didn't get a citation for that. He's never really been in jail. He's not playing with felonies and things like that.
Yeah,
but it's
just,
stupid
he's
little
dicking thing. Around way too much. Yeah, he's dicking
yeah,
around way too
much. Stupid little
thing.
And my starting running back, I'm looking at DeMarco Murray. Yeah, he set the record, but you know what? He was squeaky clean, never got in trouble off the field. Was great on the field, better than Randle will ever dream to
well,
be on the field.
The reason why that's not true is because I started freaking out last year because there were reports that he was hooking up with some dude's girlfriend and
but
the guy was putting him on blast and leaking. No, because that right there is
TMZ
negative publicity.
Nonsense.
We're talking negative. All right? If you're cheating, if you are the reason why a wife is cheating on her husband and that guy used to be your teammate, and that stuff gets to the press.
True.
That's not stuff that needs. That's just as bad as stealing out of a boxers and cologne. What do you mean?
That's
how
negative publicity? That's like the Jersey Shore. Nobody cares about that. This guy's been in trouble with the law. I mean, we could. He's not. He's not going to get suspended
so,
for sleeping with some other
so,
dude's
wait a
boyfriend.
Cheating. Wait a minute. So cheating on your husband. That's not equally as messed up, and that's not something that would warrant negative publicity as much as shoplifting boxer shorts and cologne?
Well, no. It's as messed up in terms of the
beating
mental
the home
state
record
that it takes to do
in
it.
In the middle
well,
of
no,
a Cinderella season, middle of a Cinderella well, season, being a home wrecker, that to me is messing our entire thing up and putting a bunch of negative publicity in the locker room.
Well, first of all, those two went back to college. They had been kind of sleeping around since Oklahoma, but they, I mean, okay. That's Jersey Shore nonsense there, okay? He's not going to get suspended for sleeping with somebody else's husband. Yeah, it's messed up. TMZ's going to put it in the limelight.
Sleeping with someone else's wife.
Wife, yeah, what did I say? Husband? Oh, wow, that was weird.
Yes.
Anyway, but someone else's wife. Okay, I understand that. But, you know, no one's going to, you know, half the people are going to look at it and go, yeah, he's the man, and half the people are going to, he should be ashamed. But he's not going to, I'm looking at it from an objective standpoint, and say, he's not going to get suspended. He's not going to get fined for sleeping with somebody else's wife. No, this guy, this is what I look at, potentially losing him for games. Okay, because Murray's not going to lose any games by doing that. That's his own personal life, his own personal thing. Now, if the guy confronts him and there's a fight or whatever, okay, sure. But if he's just sleeping with them and they can deal with it off the field, that's off the field. It's negative publicity that I think a lot of people aren't going to care about because they're going to be like,
so you heard
yeah,
it. You heard it here, folks. I don't care about steroids, and Chris doesn't care about infidelity.
Well, I care about infidelity in that sense. It's just, it's more when it comes to losing a player for however many games. Okay.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's get on to the next topic. This topic's out of control.
I will. But before I do, I just wanted to get out there that this guy, Randall, is potentially going to miss games if he keeps messing around. DeMarco Murray, if he keeps, quote-unquote, messing around, is not going to ever miss any games. However, everybody, as you may know, is friendlier in Texas. He starts doing that stuff in Philly, and they might find him dead in a back alley somewhere, you know, so.
Oh, because some came in the mail today. These nuts. Got him! Got him!
That kind of sounds like you're laughing a little bit. But in a way of talking about got him, okay, DeSean Jackson, who has been a known head case and a suspected gang member ever since leaving the University of California when he joined the Philadelphia Eagles, has kind of come out and he's made the word that we've thrown around in the past 5 minutes, negative publicity. That negative publicity is him coming out saying he's the Cowboy killer. Okay, he's the guy that the Cowboys, he's the arch nemesis for them. Okay, I don't remember really ever being too nervous about DeSean Jackson. I really, that Eagles team had so many other weapons that would kill us. Brent Celek, Brian Westbrook, Jeremy Maclin. I mean, you know, Donovan McNabb back at the time was a one-man army. So I wasn't worried about DeSean as much as I could have been. Then when he went to the Redskins, I really wasn't worried about him because he didn't have any. He was a one-man team, basically. So, you were the one who kind of turned me on to this article. I'm sort of skimming through it and reading it as we go here. But what exactly is DeSean saying here? Like, why is he claiming that he's the quote-unquote cowboy killer? Like what's that based on?
It has me baffled. And the reason why I wanted to discuss this over other topics that we were talking about is because this is so ridiculous, it's embarrassing to DeSean. Now, coming out of college, I don't care if you are a Blood, if you're a Crip, if you're a member of a Victoria's Secrets Rewards program. I don't give a crap, dude. You can throw up whatever symbols you want when you get in the end zone, but the fact is, he's only been in the end zone against the Dallas Cowboys twice in his career. Okay? Two times in this man's eighth season heading into this year, has he gotten into the end zone against the Dallas Cowboys?
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. Was he the player?
And as a Redskin.
Was he the player who caught a touchdown? I believe it was like a long bomb. It was like 40 yards or something. This is when he was still in the Eagles. and he was running towards the end zone, and he pulled the Leon Lett, and he put the ball out behind him.
Yeah, he threw
and
it before
it.
The end zone. Yep, yep,
yeah,
at the 1 yard line.
He dropped it before he crossed the plane.
Yeah. He didn't drop it. He threw it behind his back. He threw it behind his back
yeah,
like he was showing off, but he was an idiot, and he didn't realize he didn't cross the plane. But,
yeah,
okay, so
what?
He's an idiot. I wanted to defend him as far as I don't care what his association is outside of football. Again, if I don't care about roids and I don't care about stuff that you do in your spare time, I certainly don't care about the people you hang out with, okay? You're doing that to yourself. That's your own self-image. You destroy it or hype it up as much as you want. I don't care. The thing that I do care about is a self-proclaimed nickname. It wasn't given to you. It's something you said on your new BET reality TV show. He's making it big there. That's your new thing. You're out. I think he was at a NASCAR race or something, and someone's like, hey, how do you feel about the Dallas Cowboys? Well, man, they call me the Cowboy Killer. Why is that? Because every once in a while you have a good game against us? Yeah, like realistically, dude, I did all the math. His career catches against the Dallas Cowboys, 43. His career yards, 885, 2 touchdowns. That's dog crap numbers, okay? 2014, he at Dallas, they won the thing. All right, ready? I'm going to rattle some numbers off for you. I want you to realize that this is what's known as the Cowboy Killer. 2014,
the token
numbers guy. Here we go. As a Redskin, at Dallas, they won the game 20-17. He had 6 catches, 136 yards, 0 TDs. So that tells me he had a lot of deep balls. I have admitted to you multiple times we do not have anybody back there at safety. So anybody who has raw speed at running the one route, the go route, they're going to tear us apart because we can't defend against the deep ball.
Back then we had
Gerald
Sendebaugh.
Back then, that was this past year. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Back then it doesn't even matter.
Okay, so
this
past
year.
Okay, so we had Jeff Heath and J.J. Wilcox.
Church.
And Barry Church.
Church, too. Yeah,
Barry Church.
Yeah. Again, this is why Byron Jones will find a starting spot on this team. But anyways, so last season – at Dallas, 20-17, they beat us, 6 catches, 136 yards, 0 touchdowns. But when they played in Philly, they lost the game 17-44, ouch, 2 catches, 86 yards, 1 touchdown. 2013, Eagles. This is his Eagles reign, ready? So, versus Dallas, lost 3-13, 3 catches, 21 yards, no touchdowns. At Dallas, win 24-22, 3 catches, 28 yards, 0 touchdowns. Hell of a year for the Cowboys killer. 2012, he only played 12 games because he was injured. He had one game they played against us. It was at Philly. They lost 23-38, 5 catches for 62 yards. 2011 versus Dallas, 34-7 win. I believe this is the year that Romo was out because they beat us both times during the year, and they were like big, big, big wins. 3 catches
2011,
for 31
yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah, 3 catches for 31 yards, 5 catches for 90 yards. Like, really? Cowboy killer? 2010, 4 catches for 210 yards, 1 touchdown. That was his career game. He had 4 catches, Chris. 4 catches for 210 yards. Do that math. So we're talking each catch was for about 40-plus yards. He's a deep
was that the
threat,
Donovan McNabb?
And he did it.
Was that the Donovan McNabb game where he ran all the way to one sideline, ran all the way back to the other sideline, came back? Was that the McNabb game? I think it was.
Yes, and so this is my point. Yeah. He's a deep threat guy, but the fact that preaches more to the fact that the Cowboys' defense sucked so bad they let him burn them 4 separate times for giant chunks of yards. That's his only other game with a touchdown. This game in 2010 and then this past season – the 2-catch game for 86 yards. Again, 2 catches for 86 yards. Those are big chunk catches. This is not a guy that likes to go over the middle. This is not like a warrior like Megatron or Anquan Boldin or even Dez or Terrell Owens. This is not a dude who wants to put in the work. This is a little scrawny wimp that likes to just run and say, you can't catch me, and then he catches a deep ball because he can outrun somebody. The Cowboy Killer. Come on, man. Like again, I could keep going. 2009, 2008, it doesn't matter. They're all 2-catch games for barely 40 yards.
Well, to his defense,
His rookie year, he had a 6-catch game for 110 yards. Still, no touchdown. The guy does not get into the end. You know who the real Cowboy Killer is, Chris, in my opinion? Megatron. He showed up once. He got 329 yards after Dez Bryant said he was the better wide receiver, and he just annihilated us. It was the second most yards in a single game all time.
We played him once. You have to remind
I never want to see him again. I never want to see him again. He's the Cowboy killer, not this little scrawny wimp.
But what happened in the playoff game, though? He didn't really show up in this past playoff game. It was Golden
Tate. It doesn't
matter.
When you come close to breaking a record, or like I said, if you do it in the biggest stage possible, I told you before the show, Eli Manning taking out the Patriots two times in a row, that's the Patriot killer. You're labeled a blank. You're labeled a killer if you do it in the biggest stage possible, or if you like break a record and you have some consistency to it. But this guy is not consistent.
We had the worst defense in NFL history the year that he did that, and we still only lost the game by 1 point on a quarterback sneak from Matt Sanford.
The way you look at it, though, is we knew that the ball was going to Calvin Johnson every single play, and there were a lot of times where it was a double coverage jump ball, and Calvin made our secondary look like a bunch of children out there. He like just physically ran us over. There is no one on the field or any fan that was watching that game against Calvin Johnson that did not know that the ball was going to Calvin Johnson. Still couldn't
True,
stop him.
But I mean, we still only lost by one on a BS quarterback sneak. But regardless, to DeSean Jackson's credit, okay, he also said in the same interview, he said, "Well, yeah, they call me the Cowboy Killer." He goes, "I'm a giant and Cowboy Killer. Now I'm an Eagle Killer too." Is what he said. So he basically is.
He only said that after they said, "Well, now that you're with the Redskins, what do you think of the Eagles?" Otherwise, he would have just said, "I'm a Cowboy killer." He hates the Dallas Cowboys, period. He doesn't hate the Giants as much. Even now that Philly booted him and started talking smack about him after they left, he probably still doesn't even hate Philly as much as he hates the Cowboys. He hates the Cowboys because of the glitz, the glamour, and because he's not a Dallas Cowboy. And he labels himself a Cowboy killer because he's a deep threat. Nothing more.
Well, let me ask you, as a Cowboy fan, and about 13 minutes left to go here in this Cowboy 90-Minute Monday, chat box is blowing up. No callers, but I am getting people saying I'm listening. They're just not Cowboy fans and don't have anything to weigh in on, but they will be calling on Wednesday when it's an Around the League topic, so we'll be looking forward to hearing about them. They're just enjoying us talking about Cowboys today, but have no input because one's a Patriots fan and the other one is, I don't know, Steelers or something. I don't know. But anyway, so the Cowboy killer, per se, let me ask you first before I go into this. Being a Cowboy fan, being a lifelong Cowboy fan, a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, the Cowboys, you're a Cowboy fan. Okay, who do you hate most? And I think a lot of the younger generation, like maybe a couple years younger than us, are going to say either, oh, the Eagles. Oh, the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. Or the Giants. Oh, well, you know, the She-Men, whatever they want to be called. But that's because the Giants and the Eagles have been the most competitive over the past couple of years. I think the Eagles went on, like a five-year run back when they had T.O. and McNabb, a five-year run of winning the NFC East, like five straight years. They were the team.
But, Chris, the thing with me is I've never been more comfortable about playing the Philadelphia Eagles than I have been over the last 5 years. Even when they had Foles and he was playing out of his mind, when they brought Vic back and everyone's like, oh, no, it's the revival of Michael Vick. And even when Donovan McNabb was on his way out, hell, bring him back to his prime. I don't care. They were just they were, to me, a soft team. The Giants
always
don't scare
me.
The Redskins scare me because every game is ugly. It's barely a double-digit game, and somebody gets hurt. That's why I hate the Redskins, and I tell this to everyone. Anytime we play the Washington Redskins, they have our number. They know exactly what we want to do, and the games are ugly, and I hate it. And they were one of the teams that injured Romo one of those years, and it was so blatant that they were trying to injure him.
This past year, they put him on his back. He already had the back surgery, and they were gunning for him the whole game. It was this past season.
That's what I'm saying, man. As far as a team that I'm afraid of, it's not that I'm afraid of losing the game. It's that I'm afraid of getting my guys out of there alive and in one piece so we can move on to the next week. Philly and Giants, I don't give a crap about them. Each game's usually either a shootout or it's a close, you know, 30-28 type game.
Nail biter type thing.
So exactly, yeah. I'm not as worried about nail biters because that's just entertainment value. I'm worried about the teams that literally are scumbags that try to take your guys out and end their careers. And the Redskins and the Cowboys rivalry has always been that, but it's been one-sided. Like I said about DeMarcus Ware many shows ago, the guy is soft as a pillow. He'll knock you down and help you back up. The Redskins don't have a single guy on their team that will do that. And that's nastiness, I don't want Romo to have to deal with.
Well, let me ask you, though, and I was getting to this point before you mentioned that, and you kind of already answered the question for me, but the team in the league that, as a Cowboy fan, you hate the most, you'd say it's the Redskins, right?
Like
it's the same thing. Yeah, because it's the same thing with me. Like, everyone goes, oh, Giants. You know, I live in upstate New York. I get a lot of Giants fans, and they're like, oh, the Cowboys, F the Cowboys.
But I'm not threatened by Eli and the Giants because
I don't think they're
really that good.
But I tell people all the time up here, I don't hate the. I mean, I hate the Giants because they're a division rival, and I hate the Eagles because they've been the best team in the league over the past decade in terms of total record. But I hate the Redskins because any true Cowboy fan you talk to who knows the history of these two organizations, who knows the rivalry that these two organizations have had, these two teams have been the this rivalry. Because the Redskins have been so bad the past 10 years, I think they made the playoffs, once in 10 years, and that was when Sean Taylor was still alive. They have been not very good, okay? But
Isn't this just the rivalry, though, that's like 500? Like, each team has beaten the other one, equally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this rivalry, though, to a Cowboys fan, and I know some Redskins fans, and to a Cowboys fan and to a Redskins fan, this rivalry is Bears-Packers. Okay, this rivalry is, you know, Patriots-Jets. It is Bears-Packers. It is, you know, Yankees-Red Sox. I mean, this is the rivalry between these two teams. Every single year, I know that we're going to beat them because of the personnel that we have and whatever, although we did lose one this season. But I circle the game. I'm like, we got to beat Washington. God, I hate Washington. You know, and it's one of those games where, and I've said this in the bar, and I mean, I'm not a religious person, but Lord, I apologize for this one. I've said this, sober, I've said this, that if the Redskins team plane went down, okay, other than the loss of human life, which I would hate that because I hate the loss of human life. If the Redskins team plane went down, other than the loss of life, I wouldn't shed a tear. Because the organization, the ownership, the management, the coaching, the stupid cranberry and yellow uniforms, the all hail the Redskins with the pig noses and I hate them. I hate the Washington Redskins organization as a Cowboy fan. They are the deep seated hatred. You know, if the Redskins were in the Super Bowl, I don't care if they were playing the Patriots. I'm not rooting for the Redskins. I can't bring myself to do it. So. You know, when guys leave the Cowboys to go to the Redskins, I instantly, boom, they're done in my book. When guys come from the Redskins and play for Dallas,
I feel sorry for them. When they go there.
But the Skins, though, you put up a good point. They are a hard-hitting team. They've always been a hard-hitting team. I mean, they've got Brian Arakpo, Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, they're drafting heavy hitting guys. I mean, their safeties. I'm trying to remember. Breshad is one of them. Breshad Breeson is one of them. They've always had who's that guy? Well, Roll before, but the other big corner they've had there, Hall. You know, those guys. They've always kind of been a physical, intense team. And the Redskins are always top 10 in defense. I mean, I mean, every game they play is a low scoring game. Every game you never see a Washington Redskins game that's like 44-38. I mean, they don't allow a lot of points because usually they're putting guys on their backside, and you know the thing is with them is they just can't score. I mean, RG3's been a dumpster fire. They're always switching out wide receivers. They didn't have a running game until Morris broke out last season. So the Redskins have, they worry me too because they can beat us They can beat us at any time with their physicality. They can beat us with an aging quarterback. They can beat us by, you know, taking out one of our guys. And we saw what happened this season. I mean, Colt McCoy came in and beat us this season. And why? Because we had Brandon Weeden on the other side. Because, you know, Romo went down with his back thing. And you mentioned the point that it looked like they were trying to hurt him. I mean, they were sending. It's almost like they didn't care. It's almost like
they didn't care.
Not
if it was
care.
A deep ball that resulted in a touchdown, they didn't care. They wanted to see Romo flattened
on the
ground.
They were going after. Exactly. They were bringing. We have, five offensive linemen? They were bringing eight guys every time. And everyone's like, oh, well, look at the Cowboys' offensive line. They don't look that good now. No, they're just bringing. It's math. They're just bringing more
but
guys
it worked.
That we could block.
The worst part is that it worked because Romo looked like a scared deer about to get hit by a semi-truck. He couldn't even check down the ball because there were so many guys coming on the blitz, they didn't even leave him a passing lane to throw a quick any kind of pass. And then they would fake the blitz. I mean, if you want to talk about a team and a defensive coordinator that got into Romo's head last year, you go watch that Redskins game, the one that you're talking about.
Zimmer,
where McCoy won.
Mike Zimmer?
Yeah,
Zimmer.
Sucked, man, it was the most terrifying game for me to watch. And like I said, I'm never worried about losing the game. I'm worried about losing my starting quarterback. And that's the way it's going to be from here on out.
Yeah, and the Redskins are always going to do that. I mean, they're always going to be a tough physical team. And I'll tell you, when the Redskins get an offense, if they get a quarterback who is worth something and they start building the offensive line, which is, I think, they took Trent Williams a couple years ago and now they just took Brandon Schreff this year, sort of trying to model a little bit of what we're doing in Dallas and trying to give RG3 some protection a little bit. The Redskins might be one of those teams. I don't see them being – 4-12, 3-13 team for a lot longer. I mean, I think Gruden's going to turn the program around. He's going to give RG3 1 year and done, and say if you don't do it this year, you're done. I think the Redskins have the potential over the Giants and over the Eagles to be the team that might catch up with us the quickest. Honestly, and that scares me too because I know how physical that defense is. And if you get a physical defense like that, that also has an offense that's scoring points, that could be a nightmare for a lot of teams. I mean, look at Seattle. Seattle has a functional offense that with the quote-unquote Legion of Boom, which is, again, a self-given nickname, which I hate as well. But we're off topic here. Only got about 3 minutes left to go. Cowboy killer is what we mentioned, which is an asinine statement for a guy who has put up zero numbers against this team to say. For me, the Cowboy killer has always been Brian Westbrook, okay, because he used to just destroy us. And I remember that game where he ran through the hole and then sat down on the 1 yard line in order to run the clock out, which I know it's a smart play, but it pissed me off. And then I would say if you want to give it a Redskin, if you want to say that a Redskin is a Cowboy killer, it's got to be Santana Moss. And it brings me back to Monday Night Football. Oh, geez, I was in middle school, maybe early high school. I don't even really remember. I just know that we had our Thanksgiving uniforms on. 14-13. Dallas was up 13-0 with like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter or something. And I'm like, all right, this is over. Two consecutive touchdown bombs to Santana Moss. They win 14-13 on Monday night. I still have nightmares about it. Moss has been our Achilles heel. Luckily, he's almost 40, so, I mean, he won't be there much longer. But he's been our Achilles heel. And speaking of Achilles heels, that's pretty much all the time we have left. Damn, I hate clocks, man. Clocks suck. Well, that's pretty much it. It's been Dustin, it's been Chris, it's been a Cowboy 90-Minute Monday. Great topics today. Make sure you tune in 4 p.m. right here Wednesday if we can find Wade. We'll bring in Wednesdays with Wade. Great topics then. Check out the Facebook. I want to shout out Teller's Mattress and More in Clifton Park. Shout out Parkway Music for giving us these microphones. We'll see you next time, Knuckleheads. The stars align.
Thank you. check.
Just want to say real quick, hashtag throw up the X, hashtag Dez caught it, hashtag it was a catch, and we will see you Wednesday with Wade. Again, until then, peace.